Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio on this live broadcast from Studio 14 this Friday, December 22nd, 2023. The United Nations urges attention to the unfolding humanitarian crisis in Sudan.
Just a few days ago, a humanitarian coordination colleague said all humanitarian field work within the state had been suspended until further notice due to the security situation. WFP said this is a major setback to humanitarian efforts.
And we'll have the latest on the presidential election in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
They're going to start announcing the results from the diaspora because for the first time, DRC diaspora were able to vote in certain cities. So the results from there will be announced first, and then they will continue announcing by tendency of each polling stations.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. UN spokesperson Stéphane Dujarric underscored the dire humanitarian situation in Sudan's Al Jazeera state, urging continuous news coverage. Dujarric, speaking at the UN headquarters in New York, emphasized the urgency and called for Sudan's warring parties to cease fighting and protect civilians.
In Al Jazeera state, today our World Food Program colleagues announced that they are temporarily suspending food assistance in some parts of Al Jazeera state as fighting is spread south and east of the capital, Khartoum. Just a few days ago, a humanitarian coordination colleague said all humanitarian field work within the state had been suspended until further notice due to the security situation. WFP said this is a major setback to humanitarian efforts in the country's breadbasket, where WFP has been regularly providing aid to cover 800,000 people, including many who had escaped the fighting in Khartoum. Needless to say that the ongoing fighting makes it extremely challenging for humanitarian agencies to safely deliver assistance, especially with more and more people on the move fleeing for their lives.
According to IOM, up to 300,000 fled Wad Madani in Al Jazeera state, with fighting spreading last Friday. UNICEF warns of 150,000 children displaced in a week, pushing Sudan's total to 7.1 million, the world's largest crisis. Over 1.5 million sought refuge in neighboring countries.
We reiterate our call on both the Sudanese armed forces and the rapid support forces to immediately cease fighting and to commit to a durable cessation of hostilities.
Dujarric emphasized the tragic situation in Al Jazeera and Sudan and called for constant international news coverage to garner world attention. Voters in the Democratic Republic of Congo are still waiting for results from presidential and legislative elections after an unscheduled day-long ballot extension that prompted some opposition candidates to cry foul and call for a rerun. The vote will determine whether President Felix Tshisekedi serves a second term. My colleague Yahya Suhib spoke with Abdushakur Abut from VOA Swahili Service, who is closely monitoring election results in Kinshasa, about developments there today.
It is going to be announced. I just talked with the spokesperson of CENI, the Electoral Commission, and she told me that they're going to start around 5 o'clock p.m. local time. That would be around 11 a.m. in Washington. She said they're going to start announcing the results from the diaspora because for the first time, DRC diaspora were able to vote in certain cities. So the results from there will be announced first, and then they will continue announcing by tendency of each polling stations. Everybody's a little bit confused when they say they're going to announce it by tendency, which means that in a polling station, they will say who is the tendency of winning, who is the tendency at polling B of winning. So they're not going to give numbers the way we understood, but we have to see at 5 o'clock what's going to come out.
And Shakur, disputed elections have often sparked unrest in Africa's second largest country. And this voting, for some, was extended into Thursday, prompting five opposition presidential candidates to call for a new election, saying the extension was unconstitutional.
Yes, the thing is that it's true the five candidates led by Martin Fayulu, who was beaten by Tshisekedi in 2018, have called for no elections and they want a new election. But the tensions are very high in the country. When you look at the social media, there's also a lot of tension between each side saying that they are winning, the opposition declaring they are winning, Tshisekedi side declaring they are winning. There's been some violence in Kasai. People who have been known voting for Katumbi have been beaten by Tshisekedi's followers. And so people are worried if the results doesn't go their way, what will happen? And I talked with a political analyst shortly, and he also is expressing fear there might be chaos in the country.
The National Election Commission, CENI, has denied this, but both opposition and independent observers have said the voting unfolded in a way that could affect the credibility of the results.
Yes, that's what they did. They said it's going to affect the results, but CENI has said the irregularities will not make any changes to the results. So that's where also there is a conflict between the people, and that's where everybody is feeling that the Tshisekedi government worked with CENI to create a situation which is chaotic and make sure that he remains in power. That's what people are saying and what experts are saying here in Kinshasa.
And the observer mission from the Congo's powerful Catholic Church has deployed more than 25,000 observers to do its own compilation of election results. Any word from the powerful Catholic Church?
We are waiting for that. Yes, the Catholic Church is very strong here. It's respected, and they will be announcing their own outcome. We are waiting to see, because what is interesting here is that by yesterday evening, every polling station which had already counted the votes had the results on the wall. So you can just walk at a polling station and you can see who won in that polling station. So with those observers, they can calculate and tabulate around the country and they can give the results according to what has been calculated in each polling station.
And Shakur, the elections on Wednesday were derailed by delays in delivering election kits and malfunctioning equipment, and people were struggling to find their names on registers. There was not enough preparation. Why did this happen in the first place?
That's what everybody is wondering, because they spent almost $800 million to prepare these elections. And people are wondering why such amount of money could not prepare the right elections. But as I said before, the Electoral Commission was named only 2 years ago. So it had very, very little time to prepare itself. So yes, everybody is talking about lack of preparation. Number two, they ordered materials which at first was not compatible. They had to change, so it delayed and delayed. And number three, they had issues of logistics. They had to wait for help. United Nations came in. The planes which were supposed to carry the equipment came from Egypt, but they came a little bit late, like 24 hours before the election. So all that combined created a recipe of chaos.
That was Abdushakur Aboud from VOA Swahili Service. He spoke with VOA Yahya Suhib from Kinshasa. Our late colleague Charlton Doki has been laid to rest today near the family home in the Kayunga district of Uganda. He is survived by his wife and three daughters. Here is his wife Lillian Doki speaking at the burial earlier today.
The Bible tells us to praise the Lord in all situations. After all, He made God. I would like to thank everyone who is here. Thank you for sparing the time to come and bid farewell to Charlton. We don't take your coming for granted. Charlton. I've met Charlton since 2009. That's when we started living together. That makes 15 years. And God has been so merciful. He has blessed us with three wonderful daughters. Me, as a wife, I would like to thank God for the time that He has granted me with Charlton. It is the best thing that I've ever had in my life. As many speakers have spoken, the Charlton you see outside is the same Charlton that we have in our house. He's so loving, very caring. He provided, he would rather go without lunch, but when he has provided for the family. Our firstborn is going to senior two. And then we have our big daughter who has finished university. But I can tell you, there's no day these girls have gone to school without their school fees being paid. It was not because he had a lot of money, but he valued family so much. For that, we shall miss him forever. With his patience, I can tell you for the 15 years, we have lived in peace. One thing I can tell about Charlton, he was always away from home. But whenever he came around, we maximized that time. Actually, many of the friends that we know, like our friends, Charlton's friends and my friend as well, I always loved spending Charlton with the Dodge.
That was Lillian Doki, wife of the late Doki, speaking after the burial today in the Kayunga district of Uganda. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, we bring you some listener comments. Stay tuned.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you could swap lives for a day, who would you swap with and why?
I'll swap with our finance minister because I think he's doing a yeoman job and I want to have a feel of what he goes through in a day.
I'll change with my dad because I love him so much. He has been there for us. I mean, like, he has taken us in good schools. He has taken care of us. Because for us, our mom is not working. We depend on our dad.
If I was to swap with someone, I feel I admire myself more than anyone in this life. And I feel I'm capable of doing what those people are doing. So I would not swap for any person.
I would like to change position with the president because I feel it would be nice to give instruction to everyone.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. More than 20,000 people have died in Gaza during Israel's war against Hamas, according to health officials on Friday. The latest indication of the enormous cost of the conflict as Israel expands its ground offensive in Gaza. Philip Weiss is editor-in-chief and founder of Mondo Weiss, a blog that represents Palestinian voices, including a reporter in Gaza and opinion pieces from Jewish Americans, which he began in 2003 when the U.S.-Iraq war got underway. The primary rationale for the war was articulated by a joint resolution of the U.S. Congress in which the U.S. claimed that its intent was to disarm Iraq of weapons of mass destruction and to end Saddam Hussein's support for terrorism. Weiss tells VOA's Carol Van Damme a significant number of Jewish Americans, like himself, believe Palestinians are being prosecuted by the Israeli government.
I'm Jewish, and so are other members of the staff, but we have a diverse staff, and we certainly are trying to bring the Palestinian perspective to American eyes and ears.
One of the stories that you just highlighted on your page was talking about how there were these reported extrajudicial killings of Palestinians in front of their families. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
I knew about the discussion of the story yesterday. I mean, there are a lot of atrocities happening now inside Gaza, and the scale is just terrifying. We all know how 14 deaths at Christmas in Prague has rocked the world. Well, you know, there are thousands of such deaths happening in Palestine, in Gaza.
Your people that you speak to every day, some of them are reporters, and are you in touch with them pretty much every day, the ones that are in Gaza on the ground?
Well, yes, we have one person in Gaza on the ground, staffer, and we have been in touch with him, but it's very difficult often to reach him because of the shortages of fuel and the shutdowns of the wireless network. And, you know, our hearts are with him. We're very concerned about the threats to Palestinian civilians in southern Gaza.
Tell me a little bit more about the blog itself. Like you mentioned at the top that you're Jewish and you have other people who are helping contribute to the page that are Jewish, but they're kind of telling what's going on that the Israeli government doesn't necessarily agree with. Can you just tell me how, you know, they got involved and how you got involved?
I started this website myself 18 years ago as in opposition to the Iraq war and to the American project of regime change across the Middle East that was so disastrous to so many societies and disastrous to our foreign policy, disastrous to American foreign interests, has made America a dirty word in many parts of the world. And I love my country, and I was against that project and still am against that project. I began it in 2006 and soon saw that as a Jewish American, I had a special responsibility to look at Israel and the American Jewish attachment to Israel and the American foreign policy that supported Israel. And I soon discovered in my first few years of this work, 2006 to 2010, that I was an anti-Zionist. I don't think that Jewish nationalism is the answer to a society in historical Palestine, what the land between the river and sea, which is Israel and Palestine now. I do not think that religious nationalism is the answer. I think that very few Americans would think so. I think Harry Truman once said that I've seen many more fights started over religion than I have over money. And he himself regretted the idea of a Jewish state in that area, though he went through with it, I think, because of the pressure of the Israel lobby. And what we've seen since 48 is that creating a Jewish state in a land where that is a diverse land is a recipe for unending unrest.
So what is your point of view about is the resolution of this or solution a two-state solution?
I really can't say. I would have been for a one-state. So I've been for a one-state solution, a democracy where all people had equal rights.
That's Philip Weiss, editor-in-chief and founder of the blog Manda Weiss. He was speaking with my colleague Carol Van Damme from New York. Christmas and the days leading up to it are usually high season in Bethlehem. But this year, the Palestinian West Bank city cancelled all festivities because of the Israel-Hamas war. Linda Gradstein reports for VOA from Bethlehem.
A church in the Palestinian West Bank city of Bethlehem, the traditional birthplace of Jesus, displays a Christmas nativity scene created in solidarity with the Palestinians suffering from the war in Gaza. The Reverend Munther Issa is the pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Christmas Church in Bethlehem.
A manger in the midst of a rubble resembling a destroyed house in Gaza, and the child Jesus as a child was under the rubble. We've seen so many images of children being pulled out of the rubble. And to us, this is a message that Jesus identifies with our suffering.
Bethlehem in the Christmas season is usually packed with international tourists who come to celebrate in festive manger square. But the ongoing war in Gaza and Hamas's continuous rocket bombardment on Israel have completely shut down tourism in both Israel and the West Bank. The Bethlehem municipality has canceled all Christmas celebrations. Hana Hanania is the mayor of Bethlehem.
Bethlehem City is a Palestinian city, and we are in mourning, we are in sad, as any other Palestinian city among Gaza Strip and West Bank. So we canceled all festivities of Christmas and all celebrations because of this aggression against our people in Gaza Strip.
The mayor says that about 70% of Bethlehem's economy is dependent on tourism. Now most of the souvenir shops are shuttered and about 70 hotels, usually overbooked during Christmas, have closed down. Young unemployed men sit around frustrated. Laith Rudeda is 19 years old and unemployed. He says that there is no opportunity to work and that the situation is very bad and getting worse as the war goes on. Before the war, he could work. Now, he says, there is nothing. Some of the few tourists visiting the city, like Pavel Kriminetsky, are Russian Orthodox Christians from Moscow.
Not afraid, no. Why? For we are Russians. But I don't afraid missile. I don't, because I'm also officer of Russian army.
While all festivities are canceled, religious services will still be held. Mayor Hananya says that he will spend most of Christmas Day in prayer.
We'll concentrate on praying for peace, because this is the city of peace. The message of peace was born here once Jesus Christ born in this city. So this message was distributed to the whole world. And nowadays, Bethlehem and the other Palestinian cities need the real peace.
He says he hopes that next year, the war in Gaza will be only a distant memory and joy will come back to Bethlehem. Linda Gradstein, VOA News, Bethlehem.
Many of you wrote to us this week, sending in condolences on the passing of our colleague Charlton Doki, South Sudanese Focus Juba Bureau Chief, who met his fate in a motorbike accident in Juba last week. Some of you also sent in Christmas messages. Let's start with these voice notes you sent us.
This is Peter Ngocha Nyangmu Jongle, Jongle State, South Sudan. Nabil, the passing on of our journalist Charlton Doki is a breaking heartbreaking news, and it's also a saddening to the media fraternity. Charlton have really worked hard to make sure that we have BOA today in South Sudan.
I'm James Roy Mujok from Bentiu Town, South Sudan. I want to send my condolence message to the family of BOA News journalist Charlton Doki Lonyang, who passed away yesterday in Juba for a motorist accident. It is really a great pain to all VOA News, South Sudan Focus in program. And it makes the whole country of South Sudan to peel chokes for everyone when this sad news happened. Charlton Doki was a good journalist. Until his days, he was been a good coordinator and editor of VOA News of Voice of America, South Sudan in Focus program. I like to listen to VOA News, and I like to listen for his good voice. He has delivered a good services to all listeners across the global worldwide. We'll miss Charlton Doki for his good services that he always delivered to listeners across the country. And it is really a great talk to all of us, we be on your South Sudan in Focus program for South Sudan. Very unfortunately, it comes as something very pain to most of us, we South Sudanese. May Almighty Father rest his soul in peace.
Hello, BOA. This is Mal Adaman in Seattle, Washington. Please allow me to send my heart condolences to the family of our beloved journalist, Charlton Doki. We are enormously immersed in sorrow and agony, and we pray to God Almighty to grant us comfort, peace with his family, friends, and colleagues. And to all my friends across the world, I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. As we transit into the new year, we pray for the whole world to cease all these havocs and fighting across the world. And we pray that 2024 should be the year for peace and laughter. Thank you.
Hello, BOA. My name is Martin Mignel, a diplomat, journalist, somebody who love listening to BOA. I just wish a happy Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to South Sudanese across the world, all over, wherever they are, and wish them a happy Merry Christmas. 2024 will be a year of peace, year of prosperity, year of fulfillment of their need regardless of all the challenges people are facing in the world and in our country. So let's be hopeful, let's believe in ourselves, let's support our government, let's support ourselves and hope for the best. We are in it all, and all the best to all people of the country, all African people, particularly the people of East Africa. I wish you a happy New Year and Merry Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
VOA listeners, I'm one of your great listeners in Juba, South Sudan. I love listening to VOA. I'm very happy at this moment to wish my people Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I expect more this new year from VOA, from our listeners, from our people across the world. I wish my family, my moms in Yambio, my people in Uganda, Africa, I wish them all the best during this time. Not forgetting all the VOA team. I thanks the team management for the great job they are doing. I encourage you to keep on doing the great job. Keep it up. We are there for you. And thanks for the great job you are doing. I wish all of you Happy New Christmas and a prosperous New Year. Thank you so much.
Martin Manuel Wugol in Juba writes, kindly allow me to send out my best wishes to the South Sudanese people for a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year 2024, a year of peace and prosperity for all citizens of South Sudan. May the spirit of peace and togetherness be upon our leaders. In Jesus' name we praise. Amen. Jacob Dior Machweng from Rombek in Lake State says, dear South Sudan in Focus, as the week comes to an end, I still grieve for the untimely death of our beloved journalist Charlton Doki, whose death has robbed us. He was an amazing influencer. Through him, I became a follower and contributor to VOA programs from 2011 to the present. We have lost a leader. My condolences to his family and the VOA family. May his soul rest in peace. And we have Thong Chuni Yokwai in Juba says, who says, Happy Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year in advance to all South Sudanese in the country and outside the country. Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Bortown says, with the election going on in the Democratic Republic of Congo, I urge all Congolese, regardless of their political parties, to do a free and fair election to show political maturity to the world, because in every race, there is a winner and there is a loser. And we end with Samuel Remo in Yehi, who writes, hi, VOA South Sudan in Focus. As a prominent listener of VOA, I was shocked by the sudden death of the professional journalist Charlton Doki. May his soul rest in peace. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate hearing from all of you. Keep those comments coming. And I would like just to pass my thanks and appreciation to Classic FM journalist Dennis Logoni, who has been keeping us updated with the funeral rituals of our friend Charlton Doki from Uganda. And that's all we have for you this Friday. Don't forget to check out voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this broadcast, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. We leave you with Yemari by JJD. I am your host, Nabil Biagio, in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Gwen Uten, thanks for taking the time to be with us. Remember to join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
solo kilang mali.